an airline passenger's bill of rights. Are we there yet? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of FlyersRights.org. This is the organization that was founded in shortly after Kate's nightmare flight in December of 2006, in which she was in a tarmac stranding. And in a fairly short period of time, at least compared to the normal glacial pace of things in Washington, D.C., there's real progress now on a passenger's bill of rights. Kate's organization started out as the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Kate, welcome in. It looks like you are maybe have the finish line in sight.
You know what? I don't want to jinx it, but yep, you're right. I feel that within the next month, we are going to have a bill on the president's desk reconciled, and with the three-hour rule and all of the other wonderful, basic, essential human needs as law for airline passengers.
Well, tell us what form this has taken. I guess it wound up in the House version of FAE reauthorization that happened last year, and now it's in the Senate version of the bill as well.
Yes. Well, the Senate version was the one that had not passed. For 3 years in a row, we've had a House version that has been passed that did not have a three-hour rule in it, but our Senate version did. So the Senate version was stronger, but it hadn't been able to pass until a couple of weeks ago. The Senate finally got the bill passed, and instead of protracting the conference period, they've decided to have it be only 30 days from the last day of March. So it looks like the end of April, we are going to have a law in addition to our rulemaking through the Department of Transportation. So airline passengers can be pretty thankful that they're going to have rights when they're on an aircraft. And of course, we will continue fighting for even more rights in the future.
Okay, now take me back a little bit, because the FAA reauthorization version that passed in the House, was that back in about, what, September or October of last year, something like that?
Yes, the latest version of the House FAA bill passed last September in hopes that the Senate would get their version done as well. The House has been very motivated to get this done. And it passed without a lot of fanfare, and they extended the funding for the FAA from that point just to ensure that they had funding for it. But the Senate couldn't seem to get their version done. So we finally got it done, and it was it was a little bit of a surprise that we finally got the Senate version done, because they seemed to be so reticent to get it done. But they did, and now we can move forward.
Well, now, did the House version have passengers' Bill of Rights wording in it, or is that going to have to get done during the reconciliation process?
The House version did have a passenger Bill of Rights version in it, but the problem with the House version is that it did not mandate food or water. It suggested food and water, and it did not mandate any time frame to be on the tarmac. It would have allowed the airlines to set their own time frame in their contract of carriage. So it was a much weaker version than the Senate version was. It did have a few things in it that were not as not as sexy in terms of what was in it, but they were effective items. For instance, the House introduced the idea that the Department of Transportation should have oversight over the airline's contracts of carriage, and that whatever the airlines did decide should be in the contract of carriage, and there were specific fines for violation of those contingency plans. But the contingency plans themselves were ineffective, because there was no three-hour rule and there was no specific mandate that they had to provide you with adequate water and adequate food while on board an aircraft.
Well, Kate, I think about the DOT rule, which happened somewhat independently of what was going on in Congress, that has put some of these things into effect as of April 29th. And I know that in the DOT's rulemaking, there were three major loophole areas that may or may not be a problem for airlines to abuse. Are there such opportunities in the bills that are in the Senate and the House?
No. The bills in the Senate and the House do have a safety caveat, but do not have the security caveats or the disruption of airport operations caveat. So it's very different on the Senate side. And also, Senators Boxer and Snow are very aware of these caveats and have been working with us very closely on the DOT rule to try to prevent the DOT and the FAA from allowing that, specifically the airport, disruption of airport operations caveat from being too broad. We've been fighting with Randy Babbitt at the FAA and Secretary LaHood from the DOT to try to narrow the definition of disruption of airport operations.
In the Senate, you mentioned this thing where for 3 years they just couldn't get this done. You know, to a casual observer, it looked like maybe the airlines had developed relationships, unquote, in the Senate that were just too tough to penetrate. What turned the corner? Was there a time that you sensed that this thing was finally coming around?
You know, honestly, December 21st was my idea that, you know, when I got the call from Secretary Ray LaHood saying that he left a message on my phone, actually. I wasn't up yet in California. I thought the government offices were going to be closed that day because of the snow, and I thought the announcement was going to happen on Tuesday, not Monday. So I wasn't expecting it. And when I got the call, actually, from Bloomberg, before I had listened to my messages, saying, how do you feel about the three-hour rule that the DOT just announced? And my first words were, is it enforceable? And they said, yes. And I went, well, this is a Christmas miracle, you know, because I didn't expect it. I mean, I've been working with the DOT for almost 3 years on the rule and had no idea that they were going to go that strict on their guidelines. And the great thing about the rule is that it is enforceable. It's fragile, but enforceable. And what I mean by that is that a new administration could overturn it very easily and likely would. But what it did is it paved the road to make it very easy for the House and the Senate to pass the three-hour rule. There's now no excuse for it not happening.
Okay.
And I've been told that.
And that will kind of ratchet it into place, too, because then if a new administration comes in that feels differently, it'll take a little more work to get it undone.
That's exactly right.
Well, Kate, the other thing that I know has developed in the last few weeks since we talked was that your iPhone app has gone live, and let's talk about that when we come back from the break. My guest is Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. And we've been talking about the legislation that's in both the House and the Senate, which will bring about a Passenger's Bill of Rights if FAA reauthorization passes as expected, and the DOT rulemaking, which does similar things, which is already in effect, or goes into effect April 29th. Kate, I want to talk about something that's much more practical and hands-on for individual airline travelers, and that is that the iPhone application that we talked about last time we were on an Aerocast here has now come to be, and people can buy it and use it. And I have two questions. How well does it work, and how much volume is it getting?
Well, it works excellent. And it's only about halfway complete. So what we have on there now is if you buy the iPhone app, actually, I think it's free right now until April 29th. We didn't put a price on it until April 29th because we have more bells and whistles that we're adding as an upgrade. But the initial iPhone app, which we have had complete for about a month, if you press on it, it gives you exact instructions for what to do if you're stuck on a plane. It's as simple as that. It gives you our hotline number. It tells you to get out your video camera, your still camera, your audio recording device, and record exactly what's going on so that you have some documentation. Now, where we're taking it beyond that, and we're going to make the announcement on April 29th, is that one of the things we thought would be really cool is that when people sit down in their seat on a plane, once they get on the plane and they sit down, that they press the iPhone app and a timer starts. And at the 3-hour mark, an alarm goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And that alarm is going to play the theme song from Jeopardy.
Oh, that's awesome. I can just hear it.
It's like, it's so perfect, right? And then the other thing is, it's so cool, is that people will be able to take their videos on their iPhone once they press the FRO app, and they're going to be able to upload those videos, photos, and audio directly to our FTP. And then in real time, the media is going to be able to access it. So we have thought of a solution to this that's going to really hold the airlines accountable, and it's going to put them on notice every time they hold people for 3 hours. And partly this is because a lot of the complaints that we get on our hotline, people will call us and they'll say, I've been on the tarmac 5 hours, and I will, you know, talk to them and say, well, how long have you been at the gate? And is the door open? Because the game the airlines play is they fully load the aircraft, and often they'll sit at the gate for 2 hours with the doors open, but they'll tell people you can't get off.
Mm-hmm.
But then they tell the BTS, well, they didn't actually depart the gate until 2 hours later. So that's when the time starts ticking for the airlines and the BTS, but it's not reality for the passengers.
Interesting. Now, does the new DOT rulemaking straighten those definitions out, or is that still a loophole?
Well, it's a little bit of a loophole, but the BTS is aware of it, and we're tightening that in the second rulemaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's getting addressed. We're going to address it. We know what the problem is, and we're not going to let them get away with it. But this alarm is going to be one really good way of not letting them get away with it.
All right. So is the app available through iTunes and the normal places? And it's free for now. And do you know what it'll cost on April 29th?
99 cents.
That's terrific.
It'll be the best 99 cents you've ever spent. And you'll also have full access to our website through the iPhone app. So if you want to click over to the website and get our stranded passenger emergency kit or our survival guide or the CEO of an airline's phone number, It's all there.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, there's a topic we didn't even get into today, Kate, and that is some of the airlines have asked the DOT for waivers for a rule that hasn't even gone into effect yet. For this fall when there's construction at JFK, I'd like to have you back someday next week and talk about that again if you're game for it.
I'd love it.
Kate Hanna is the founder of FlyersRights.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.